So we are going to start right now at this moment with this beautiful series. And if you read when you drove into our parking lot, the main theme for this week is truth for today, hope for tomorrow. This is very important. You can only be hopeful, you can only hope for something if you have the facts. If you know the truth, you can be hopeful. The reason many people today are losing their hopefulness is because they don't know the truth, or they do not have the facts, or they are not aware of what is about to happen. So, the topic that I want to study with you this morning is sleeping through the sirens. I am sure that each one of you here remember that morning, September 11, 2001. If there is a date that everybody remembers what they were doing at that exact moment when they heard over the news that an airplane crashed with the Twin Towers or the World Trade Center. Do you remember where were you that day? What you're doing when you first heard? Impressive, right? But let me ask you these. Do you think that if the people that were already in the tower, if they were told that morning two airplanes would fly and crash with the towers, do you think they would be there? They wouldn't be there, right? They would prevent being there that morning if they were told. Because it is in our life to protect ourselves. So, suppose that you are to cross a field and you hear and someone tells you, come and say, hey, be careful crossing this field because many landmine is still in this field. What would you do? Would you cross it carefully or would you just stop? It would just stop, right? Yes, because you want to know the fact. You would be very grateful if someone would give you this warning. You would be, you know, secure and find another way to reach your destination to avoid dangers. Did you know that the old Roman emperors, they had specific people to work in their courts, and they were tasters, food tasters. They would never eat any food before someone comes and eats some of that food. They would wait and see what would happen to that person. Isn't that nice? We trust our wives, right? We trust, when you go to a restaurant, you trust that, right? You don't have a taster. You don't ask, okay, waiter, come, test some of my food here. Let me see what's going to happen. You don't do that. You just go ahead and eat. But Roman emperors knew that their lives were in a threat. It was constantly in danger. So they would have a food tasters. Some bad things, we know that it's going to happen. We always have signs when some bad things is about to happen. Even in our own bodies, when something is not right in there, or something is about to happen, our body is telling us. Even our cars, when you drive your car, right? When something is about to happen to a car, what you can see in your dashboard. some warning lights. We like to ignore them, do we? How many of you have some, you know, warning lights in your dashboard? You just, well, okay, it's just the tire pressure. Okay, it's just, well, engine light is on, but I know what that is. And we get used to that. What do? We must pay attention to these warning lights. We must pay attention when our bodies is saying something is not quite right inside. You must pay attention. See a doctor. Go to a hospital. Go to an emergency room because you're not feeling okay. But there are bigger things that comes, and we must hear the warning signs. There are hurricanes, typhoon. There are earthquakes. There are so many things. And it would be foolishness if you hear on the news that a hurricane is coming your way and you say, well, I can't leave home. I can't go away. Where would I go? That would be okay. I'll be okay here. I have enough food on the fridge. I have enough, you know, gas on the car in case I need to go somewhere. But I'll wait here because this is my house. Jesus once came to his disciples and said something that shocked them. And we can find that in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And you know what this text says about, right? Can you say it by heart? Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, believe not. What? What else? Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to be with me. Wow. What a wonderful promise. But you know, that was a terrible news for the disciples. Because they have left the Lord. They have left their families, their jobs, their daily lives to follow this master with the vision that one day they would become their ministers. They would become Jesus' prime ministers and part of his cabinet. And now Jesus are saying, I have some news to tell you. I'm going to go to a place where you cannot come with me now. But with this shocking news, Jesus said, I will come again. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be sad. Do not be shocked. Do not be in despair. I will come back again. I will come back again. And then a few days later, a couple of days later, for the last time, Jesus was walking out the temple of Jerusalem. And the disciples were amazed and looking at this beautiful, beautiful building. One of the marvelous buildings of the world. Okay, you understand what I'm saying, right? Thank you. And they were so amazed, and they called the attention of Jesus. Jesus, look at these walls. How perfect they are. Look, Jesus, as the sun is setting on the horizon, just look at this beautiful building. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus gave them another news. Luke chapter 19, verse 44, Jesus said, they will not leave a new one stone upon another. Jesus was saying that one day there will come a mighty army, a mighty force that would destroy this temple. And not one stone will be left on top of another. And the disciples, they were troubled. They were impressed with those words. They said, when that could happen? This beautiful building, the house of God, when could this be destroyed? And Jesus said, well, very soon. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please tell us, when these things will happen? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Please tell us. So they could even only imagine that this magnificent building would only in one occasion be destroyed. And they thought, that was the day when Jesus comes. The day when everything, all the buildings, all the structures of the world will be shaken. Everything will crumble. Because that's when Jesus will make everything new. And they understood that that was the day. But it was in the year AD 70 when the Roman armies invaded Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. It was a complete destruction. Jesus, tell us, the destruction of the temple, my brothers and sisters, Jesus used as a miniature of what would happen one day in the future. Jesus used this example to bring us today and tell what would happen when He come with all the angels in heaven, with mighty power, when the sound of the trumpet, when that day He will bring forth all the dead. But the disciples asked the questions, and I think we all ask this question sometime. Jesus, what is the sign? What are the signs of your return? What should we expect to happen when you are just about to come? So we may be aware. It's just like, you know, the landmine ground. You want someone to tell you. You need someone to advise you not to go into that area. So Jesus masterfully presents many signs along with the destruction of Jerusalem, but Jesus presented that would be signs of global scale. What are these signs? I want to share a few with you. And the first one we would find in Matthew 24. If you go with me to Matthew 24, and we find it in verse 5. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and He started presenting to His disciples and to us here today, because this is very important. It's talking to us, the day where we are living here. Jesus presented the first sign. Jesus said to His disciples, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise. Is that what your Bible say? What does it say?
For many will come in my name, saying, you said verse 5.
Verse 5.
For many will come in my name, saying, if I am Christ, and will deceive many.
Many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. And they will what?
Deceive.
They will what? Deceive many. They will deceive many, saying, I am the Christ. Follow me. I have the way. I know the key of the future. I am able to save your life. Jesus said to His disciples that many would come and call themselves to be the Christ. But also on verse 11 and 24, Jesus said that many false prophets would come. Have you seen any news about false prophets lately? Let me just use just a couple of examples of our past, but I know there are many in the presence, but some that has impacted our society into today. One of them was Jim Jones. They deceived many, and many lost their lives. David Koresh also deceived many, saying that he was the end time Messiah, and deceived many. Jesus said that before his return, there would be an explosion of an interest of the psychic phenomena. People want to know more about the future. They want to understand more of the occult. They want to know more what the stars say about their lives, about their future, about their success. And they're willing to pay high amounts of money in order to know that. And Jesus said, be careful. False Christ and false prophets shall arise. This is one of the signs that Jesus is saying. Yes, it's just a matter of driving around and you see. You know, some people just telling you, come, I can tell you the future. I can see what is in your future for you. But let me tell you, more important is your present. Because your present life will determine your future. The past is determining your present, but your present life will determine your future. The second sign that Jesus brought to his disciples is found in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Wow, there will be war. Are we living, church, friends, are we living today in times of war? Long ago, wars used to have their battlefield. People would leave their families and they would go to battlefields. And there they would battle against each other. And the winner would come with victory. But now, war is in our backyard. You heard this week, right? What just happened in a park where people would jog, where people would walk their pets, when people were just playing, and all of a sudden, they start just hearing gunshots. What is happening? What is happening to human race? Wars and rumors of wars. It is estimated that the 20th century was the bloodiest century of history, where we had two world wars. World War I is estimated that killed more than 20 million people. World War II killed more than 50 million people. Wow. So last century, we had many wars. The Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq, Iran War. We had the Indochina War. And we have many, many more. But what about the 21st century where we're living in? Have we achieved peace? Now we have Syria. We have the North Korea threats. And we have ISIS. And look at this. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves are roaming. We know by Bible prophecy that the seas and the waters are roaming, means nations, people, and many people. People are filled with perplexity. People are filled with distress. and they're leaving their places, their home, and trying to find a place where they can find peace. And people are with much concern about that. And today, we have finally reached a potential for a worldwide destruction. Many countries have nuclear weapons that could destroy our nation. But let me tell you this. Look what this magazine said. The Popular Mechanics said this. If a terrorist group or rogue state gets a hold of such material, talking about nuclear weapons from smugglers, they solve the single most difficult problems in building a bomb. Poised on the brink of the most calamitous conflict that can be imagined, indeed, it cannot be imagined. So, according to the experts, you and I, we are living in a time that cannot be even imagined. Wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus gave another sign that would happen before his second coming. And we find that in Thessalonians chapter 5 and 3. For when they shall say, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3 says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. As we see wars, as we see more distress, as we see anger, as we see more destruction, as we see people even raging against each other, we live in a place, in a time where people is talking about peace. Peace agreements, peace treaties, but we see all the contrary. Another sign that Jesus said, now I go back with you to Matthew 24. There are one more thing that Jesus said that would happen before his second coming. He said in Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Famines. Famines. What is that? No food. We are very privileged in living in a place, in a country that we have plenty, right? We have enough. I remember our kids when they came last year from their mission trip. Remember from their mission trip where they were? They were in Cuba, right? And I remember that they were so thankful that and they were really appreciating the country a little bit more because they were in a place that didn't have as plenty as we have here. They didn't have as the many options we have here of food that we can choose each day to eat a different food or go to the grocery or buy a food or go to a restaurant. Yes. Jesus said that famines would come. Most in developed countries have adequate food every day. But according to the United Nations environmental studies, 3 billion acres of productive land has been damaged by human activity since 1945. 3 billion acres have become just a wasteland. So the environmentalists, they're very concerned about it. Look at some facts. It is said that the entire world is living hand to mouth, trying to make it from the harvest, from one harvest to the next. Approximately 57 million people die each year because of famine. Did you know that? 57 million people. That means 156,000 people every day dies because of famine. So, if that is happening today, just watch this. Of our world's population of how many? 6 billion. I believe that is, it's more than that. 60% are malnourished, and 20% of our population are starving. I remember when I would come home after school and say, Mom, I'm hungry. What do we have to eat? My grandmother would look at us and say, son, don't say that you're hungry. You're not hungry. You just want to eat. You just have some desire of food because you don't know what is to go hungry. This is a growing concern for the world. They believe that by 2050, Earth population will grow to 9.5 billion, and by 2120, population will be at 12 billion. And food is going to be a concern. It is a concern today, and will continue to be, and it's growing. But Jesus said in the same text, 24, 6, and 7, that will be another sign. What that will be? Pestilences. What's the meaning of this word? Pestilence means plague, disease. And Jesus was actually saying that many strange diseases would emerge in the last days. Many strange illness, many strange plagues just would come and take many lives. Consider some facts about just one disease that has taken many lives. AIDS. Since the beginning, they estimated more than 70 million people is infected. More than 35 million have died of AIDS. Globally, 36.7 million are living today with HIV. That was the end of 2015. And one out of seven of these people, they don't know they are infected. Can you just imagine how cruel this is? But there are many other plagues out there today. And recently the United States were concerned about many diseases, but among them, Zika. Disease that just comes and take tolls on babies, innocent babies, and lives, and many other plagues. Pestilences would come. But not only from illness, but from many other things that would be brought. And Jesus said that in the end of time, there will be another great problem. Environmental pollution. Isaiah 51 verse 6 says that the earth will grow old like a garment. The earth will grow old like a garment. I don't know if I'm the only person that feels like that. But when I turn on the TV, when I look at what is happening around me, it's just telling me that the world is getting old. Cannot hold it anymore. It's in a place that has no rain at all. Everything is going dry and dying. On the other places, we are having floods and floods. It's all kind of devastation. And let me tell you this. Unfortunately, human beings, in many of these devastations, are responsible for that. Air pollution, destruction of nature have caused many of these problems. And Jesus said also that just before His coming, there would be another sign. 24 verses 5 and 6 said, another sign, earthquakes. Earthquakes. Have you ever been in a place with an earthquake? Have you ever experienced that? You see that? Things that we used to hear only on the TV, that somewhere far, far away had an earthquake. Now, many of us here have been in that situation. I remember my wife and I, she's looking at me, and I remember when we experienced this fearful event. We were about to eat our lunch. We had just sat at our dining, and we were enjoying our food, and all of a sudden, this strange noise coming from upstairs. As if someone was running, and it was, who is upstairs? And all of a sudden, not only upstairs, but everything started shaking. When we realized we were out in the backyard, it's a blink of an eye. I don't know if the door was open, but we were out there. I don't know if my wife and I, who opened the door, but we were out there when we realized that the house was shaking. And then we realized that it was an earthquake. But earthquake takes millions of life. It says that in the last 90 years, more than 1.5 million fatality from earthquake alone. Do you know what that is? 1.5 million in the last 90 years. We have heard many stories from Guatemala City, from Mexico, from China, from Japan. And not only that, but also what comes as a result, an earthquake. Tsunami has devastated many places. Jesus prophesied in Luke 21:11-25, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, and there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Let me tell you this. This increasing number of natural disasters is telling us that Jesus is coming. It's telling you and me, I am about to fulfill this promise. The earth is dying and Jesus must come. But Jesus said that not only there will be signs in the heavens, not only in nature, but Jesus said that there will be some signs in human beings. Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. What is that? As the days of Noah. We know that the world was destroyed by water. But now we know that the earth will be destroyed by fire. But my question is this. What were the days of Noah like? The Bible says that mankind was sinful. That it repent, and to a point they were so sinful that it came to a point that God repent from creating human beings. Can you just imagine how sad that is? To come to a point that God look at human beings and say, I am sad that I created them. I am so sad because look how much suffering, how evil they are, how sinful they are. Jesus continues saying, but as the day of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, men were married and giving in marriage. What that means? Is it sinful or is it not good for men to get married? That's right. The problem was that Noah was telling them to repent. Noah was telling them that God would be the flood, but they were still living their normal lives. They were not concerning about the signs. They were not listening to the voice of prophecy. They were not heeding to the man of God saying, God will bring waters upon the earth. So the sirens are playing. The signs and the bells is ringing all around us. Are we living our lives just like the days of Noah? Without any concern? Without any urgency in our lives to get prepared? Yes, marrying and giving in marriage. It talks about family today. It talks about what family is. One of the things that God created so dearly, family. Today, family is dissolving, is becoming more and more like a contract type of thing. And it should last until it lasts. People today are more concerned about until death do us part. And they probably want to change that. And that could become until divorce do us part. In the 1900s, there were one divorce in every 12 marriages. Can you just imagine? The 1900s, one divorce in every 12 marriages. In the 2000, one divorce in every two marriages. So we see the increasing of what God said. There will be signs in moral decay. Genesis 6:5 says, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was the condition of man in the times of Noah. But Jesus said that before his coming, there would be a rising as well in crime and violence. There would be a rise in crime and violence. It is said that every 100 hours, more youth die in the streets in the United States than were killed in the Persian Gulf warfare. More youth die in the streets of the United States than were killed in the Persian Gulf War. Just like in the days of Noah. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, as lawlessness spread, man's love for one another will grow cold. Man's love will grow cold. And we can see that, don't we? Can you see that? I don't know if it just happens to me. And you tell me if I'm the only one now suffering of this kind of, I don't want to use the word paranoia, but every time I go to a mall, I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm looking where is the near exit, just in case. Don't you feel like that, or just me? I walk in with my wife and say, well, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to walk out. Lord, only you know, please keep my life safe, protect me, because we never know. Because nobody today is safe. Because Jesus said that as lawlessness spreads, man's love for one another will grow cold. They will not be concerned about life. There were a time at least where people would look at you. They may not like you. They may not like your religion. They may not like your custom. They may not like the way you dress. But they would respect you. They would respect your life. But these times has gone. Jesus said that there would come also lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Today addiction has grown greatly in our days. And my dearest brothers and sisters, these are the signs. There is this story of a man that he had his apartment in Nova York, in New York. And his apartment was located as the busiest streets of New York. And from his bedroom window, you could hear all the noise of the traffic, all the sirens of ambulance, all the police cars, firefighters. But he once said, you know, it's strange because I sleep like a baby. I can't hear any of this noise anymore. And my wife said that she knows someone like that, sleeps through the noise. The question is, are we becoming just like that? As human beings, are we become so desensitized of the noise, of the signs that Jesus is saying, hey, when these things start happening, be aware, I'm coming. When these things increases, be aware, I'm coming. These are the sirens that I'm allowing to be played, to be sound, that you may be ready and prepared for my coming. My friends, this week I want to talk about that. I want to bring to you some truth that you might know that will help you to listen to these sirens. I want to talk about the signs that Jesus in his word showed that you must be paying attention and how you can be prepared. Not God by surprise. When the flood came in the days of Noah, only Noah and his family were in the ark. Only them heard the sound and went into the ark. But many didn't listen, ignored the red lights, the yellow lights. And when it came, it was too late. I wish and I pray, and this is my prayer today, that this week we may learn and we may be aware of the signs and to know how you can be prepared so it won't get you by surprise. So it won't be a day of lamentation, but will be a day of rejoice. So I invite you to join me tomorrow at 7. Tomorrow at 7 we will talk about this important topic of salvation. How can you just stretch your hand? Stretch your hand and get this beautiful gift that God is offering you today. Salvation. May God bless you. This is my prayer today. And I would call the praise team that will sing for us at this moment. Amazing Grace.